it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Unsuckable. This is the World Cup preview podcast. We're predicting or previewing every single World Cup group. I'm Manuel Feit. He's Josh. Josh, how is it going? We're recording this pretty much back to back. If you have listened just to the earlier prediction preview show of Group E, this is Group F. Group E, close to both of our hearts. Group F also, as we're both Canadians. And this is the group that Canada has waited for since 1986. How are you feeling about this group?
36 years.
36 years.
Wow. I mean, my memory of this group was when the draw was taking place.
Yeah.
It was coming down to the groups side by side. And I took a look at Germany and Spain. I took a look at Croatia and Belgium. And I backed the group with Croatia and Belgium. So I was decently happy that we got that one instead of the other one. But in general, it's not a great draw. I mean, let's be honest. It's going to be difficult. I think there's more question marks around specifically Belgium than there would have been with Germany and Spain in my eyes. I think the way that Canada plays could give them a decent opportunity. But at the end of the day, we don't know. I haven't seen Canada really play anyone near that level. I mean, no disrespect to Uruguay. I think they're a very good side as well. They took care of Canada, but this is going to be an even bigger step. And don't even want to, I always give a little bit of disrespect, which is not fair to Morocco, meaning like I talk about them as if Canada's going to make it through. They need to take care of business. And there's also no guarantee that Canada's going to take care of business against one of the best sides in Africa. So
yeah,
I'm going in with just the enjoyment factor of seeing my country play in a World Cup for the first time in my lifetime. And hoping that they can score their first ever goal, maybe pick up a point or two and maybe get a win.
So you're in luck. This recording is right off the back of me doing a roundtable with Alfonso Davies. And what he said was really interesting, that they have almost, their expectations are just to take it game by game, do their best, show that Canada is no pushover, take every opponent serious, and sort of do what they did in their World Cup qualification run. And I think that's a really good mindset, to be honest, right? To just say, okay, first opponent, let's not even look at the entire World Cup in its entirety. Let's just look one opponent at a time. And that starts on November 23rd against Belgium. And then see how that game goes before we look at the next opponents. And you know, and see, like, before you look to Croatia, you look to Belgium. Before you look to Morocco, you look to Croatia. And I think that's a really good mindset. What do you think?
And you know what, Manuel? I mean, this is going to make a lot of sense. I mean, it's, you'll see the connection. But, like, we've all been following this national team. I've been following them very, very closely ever since the start of World Cup qualifying. And I, after growing up following the Canadian national team, I've never had much confidence. I think it's fair to say I didn't really know that these other surrounding players were going to take this big of a step. I'm looking at Alistair Johnston. I'm looking at Stephen Eustachio, Tejan Buchanan, and it all kind of formed before our eyes, but they took it one game at a time, every step of the way. World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF is grueling. I remember back when they took on Suriname, like I was hopeful, but I'm like, okay, the whole thing could end right here. They took care of business. And then Haiti, the former foe that eliminated us from the Gold Cup and the previous edition of it, We took care of business there over two legs. Then we went to the octagonal and you started off with Honduras. And then it slowly got more challenging. And you had Mexico, you had the United States. You picked up 4 to 6 points from both of them. And yeah. all of a sudden this momentum started going, but it all started one game at a time. They've continuously proven that every obstacle that's come their way, they've been able to jump over. This is the biggest step they will look to take. I said, there's no reason to think that they can't pull off the incredible. Is it likely? Probably not. No. If you're a betting person, you know, look at the odds. Canada's never going to be the favorite, but I always point back to this group because this is what the World Cup's all about. And I'm always going to point to it because it's CONCACAF. It had a CONCACAF nation in it who surprised everyone in a tough group. It saw, I think, Italy and England were 4-3. Uruguay got second, and Costa Rica topped that group. Anything can happen, and, you know, one game at a time, let's see what happens. An early red card, and let's just say in the Belgium game, like, that's the beautiful thing. You never know what can happen, and I think It's a good mindset from Davies, and I'm excited to see what happens, but my expectations are tempered right now.
Okay, well, also a huge sigh of relief. He's fit to play at the World Cup. He's confirmed that much pretty as well. So, yeah, I think the opponents, I mean, that Belgium team, you feel like the window is closing on this team to win a World Cup. That's at least the sense I'm having with them. And maybe this is premature, but it just doesn't, I mean, as long as you have Kevin De Bruyne, you will always have a chance, obviously. But this isn't the juggernaut that they once were. I still think that they are the team to beat. I don't even want to say that because I know what Croatia did 4 years ago. But they are going to be a really tough, tough team once they emerge out of this group. And they're going to be a really tough team to play against for anyone who faces them. What's your thoughts on this Belgium team?
What I'm looking at, and it's changed a little bit, and I'll kind of get into why. But, and again, I'm not saying that Canada is going to take care of business against them. I'm just saying, looking from the positive side of the Canadian perspective, if you're going to imagine Canada picks up a point or even three, just, you know, you got to imagine they got to take at least one off of Belgium or Croatia. I'm looking at Belgium just the way that the team is set up and the way that some of these golden generation players are kind of aging out. And I'll give some examples. It doesn't mean that these players aren't still good. I don't want to, again, disrespect them because there's a lot of players I really like here. But first one is Eden Hazard. One of the best players, if not at one point, the best player in the world. Loved everything about Eden Hazard's game. He is as far from the old Eden Hazard as possible. He's still the captain. He will probably still get a ton of game time. And he's a very ineffective player on absolutely no form right now for Real Madrid. The other one, Romelu Lukaku, can't deny the quality. Don't know what his fitness level is going to be at. After that, it's a significant, again, no disrespect, but a significant drop off to, say, Michy Batshuayi. He's having a good season right now with Fenerbahce, but that's a very different opposition up front instead of an in-form, fit Romelu Lukaku. Then you get a little bit deeper down. I think their midfield very strong. I mean, I'm a big fan of Yuri Tillemans. Kevin De Bruyne is as world-class and the difference maker on his own. Could literally see him probably winning a game by himself. It's just how good he is. Then you have Axel Witsel, 33 now. Wasn't even really cutting it for Dortmund last year. He's at Atletico, has been playing as a central center back. I don't know if he can still do it in the midfield. But I mean, you can't deny, I mean, he's still Witsel. He's still got that intelligence that made him such a good footballer. And then you get into the back line where you're looking at maybe a Tejan Buchanan and even Davies and Adekubi and these fast, pacey players going at this back line. Toby Alderweireld, who was in Qatar for a little bit, and then he went back to the Belgian league. You got De Bast. He's a very young player, plays for Anderlecht. And I watched him get manhandled a little bit against the Netherlands in a Nations League match. So very young. And then you got Jan Vertonghen, who's just not a lot of pace there. Like, it's the dying breed of the golden generation. And
yeah,
you look at all those points, again, if they don't show up for the task, there's reasons to look at this team compared to the Croatian team and be like, that would be the weak spot. If Morocco or Canada are going to make it through, I'm looking at Belgium to being the one that might slip out.
Yeah, oddly enough, I echo that. You know, I always have a team that everyone always has, like, a darling where they think they're going to go deep at every World Cup. And it's usually like the entire media picking someone from South America because, you know, the shirts and the logos are sexy. And then that team fizzles out. Like, how often have we seen that from Colombia? I remember writing the previews in 2018 and then writing the Croatia preview and thinking, oh my gosh, this team could go all the way. It was really good, right? And then they almost did. I remember writing in my preview saying that this team will at least make the final, and they ended up making the final. And the reason I said that is because the way teams from the Balkan play is very uncomfortable. And the other thing is, Mario Mandzukic scored the winner against England with a torn ligament in his knee. These guys don't go away, right? So anyone looking at this Croatia side and thinking that they are beatable, never ever underestimate them. These guys are tough. They're tough as nail. And they love tournaments. And this is, for a lot of these guys, the last chance to make a big mark on a tournament. I mean, how many of us did think that Luka Modric was still around? And Luka Modric is still a very good player, right? In Josko Gvardiol, they have maybe one of the most talented center backs on the planet at the moment. Borna Sosa is an incredible left back. They have players up front who are very, very dangerous. Don't underestimate Croatia, Josh. I think that, and I'm with you, if one of those two big teams don't make it out of the group, I don't think it's going to be Croatia. I think it's going to be Belgium. And it's because Croatia is just a very, very tough team to play against.
NBA fans, the NBA action is just getting started, and so are the incredible offers at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet any $5 NBA pregame moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to 100% boost with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same-game parlay, combine multiple bets like which team will win, total rebounds, total points scored, and more. With bigger payouts than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is where I go to bet on the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code TBPN, make any $5 bet this week, and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code TBPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Lately, I've been listening to a lot of Tactical Yanks, and it's been great. One reason it's been great to listen to? Because I use my Raycon wireless earbuds to do it. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge, trust me. Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. Raycons are priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. Raycon earbuds have 3 sound profiles so you can have a personalized listening experience, as well as an awareness mode where you can hear the world around you. Whether you're doing the most intense exercise or just sitting around, Raycon earbuds are perfect for you. Go to buyraycon.com/TBPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/TBPN to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/TBPN.
I 100% agree. And there's a bit of a narrative as well around both Belgium and Croatia about kind of like them aging out. But I think it doesn't matter
with Croatia, though.
No, it doesn't. But I was kind of more talking about their back line. Like Belgium's definitely is, and their replacement, like De Bos, for example, isn't like a Gvardiol. Like he's 20 years old. De Bos is 19. That is a player coming in. Sosa's 24. You have Stanisic. I mean, I know he doesn't get a ton of minutes for Bayern, but he's playing for a team like Bayern. You can't. That's a big point towards him. That back line isn't as old as people originally thought. Like it is replenishing very, very well. The midfield, doesn't matter how old Modric is. I don't care if he's 37, he's still one of the best in the world. You got Kovacic, you got Brozovic, you got Pasalic. You have so much depth in that midfield. Evan Perisic has been doing it. The one question mark, and every Croatian I've talked to as well has the same question mark, it is the striker.
Yeah.
They don't have that Mario Mandzukic, and they haven't been able to replace him. But I mean, you look at Kramaric, who's I'm a big fan of. A lot of Croatian media is not super high on him. You got Budimir. I don't really know who's going to be the starter. I would personally start Kramaric because I think it, on paper, looks like the best one. But I think Budimir's been given the last few starts. And that's where, like, the question marks of a deep, deep run for Croatia might come in, because it's just hard to imagine, like, you know, Croatia finalists and Budimir's the guy, you know. Is that too harsh to say? Or
I mean, Mandzukic wasn't on top of his game anymore when he was the center forward.
True, but he was playing for he was playing for Juve at the time, right? So he was still a good Juve team. So
But he wasn't Bayern Munich Mandzukic.
No, he wasn't. That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't Mandzukic who carried Bayern to their first treble. Mandzukic, he is a tough guy. I will never forget. I was in the stadium when he scored that winner against England, and I remember going to the training session the day before, and he wasn't even training because he was in so much pain. Then the before the final where he also played, I think he scored. It was a 4-2. It was an incredible final to watch. I went to the final training session for Croatia, and there were 12 guys on the pitch training, Josh, because they were all carrying knocks.
Wow.
And all the guys that were out in treatment rooms were playing. They were like a hockey team, or rugby team, or whichever reference you want to take. I had so much respect, and I didn't understand what these guys were willing to go through in order to carry this nation the entire way. And even against France, that clearly were better, they just didn't want to go away. It was remarkable. It was one of the most remarkable World Cup performances I've ever seen. And I think if it wasn't some small Balkan country that had done it, but some country in South America, we'd probably be celebrating it far more. This team is really good. And they're still good. And they still have that resolve. And I see a lot of takes in Canadian media where people are saying, "Is like, oh, we're going to be able to beat Croatia." It's like, I don't know, man.
No, that's not. I mean, like I said, for me, and maybe we can get into where we think they're going to finish. But for me, I think Croatia is going to top this group. They're the best one in this group. I just think that there's a lot of, for all the reasons I pointed out, there's a lot of, if you're going to be optimistic for Canada's chances, you have to hope they take care of business against Morocco. It's just a fact. And you'd have to hope they can get something against Belgium. But I think this Croatia team, again, not that the Nations League is Manuel's favorite, but they're going to the semifinals. They're proven that they're a consistent threat. Doesn't matter what the competition is. And I'm expecting them to top this group.
Yeah. I agree. I think if Canada wants to get out of this group, they have to get something from the Belgium game. Belgium is the team to knock out. Unpopular opinion. This is how I see it. And they have to, on top of that, beat a Morocco side that we haven't talked about much, but actually has some pretty good players too.
Yeah, I think it's funny just because I've talked about these groups over and over and over again, and I always talk about Canada's chances. And I like to, like I said, I like to think I'm pretty, I try to be neutral, meaning like I don't have clear expectations that they're going to make it through, but you want to imagine it's possible. But the version of them making it through is business done against Morocco. And I just kind of like assume that'll happen. But it's not that I'll assume, but I have to hope. And it's far from that. Canada could bounce out of this group. 0 wins, 3 losses. And I don't think that's unrealistic by any stretch. Just like it's probably still not unrealistic that it can maybe sneak their way out. But this Morocco side is very talented. I mean, they're going to be playing with two fullbacks I really, really rate. Hakimi's one of the best right backs in the world. Mazraoui's been moved over to the left-hand side, so you have two very talented players there. The midfield, Amrabat's a very talented player he plays for Fiorentina. He's had a pretty decent record so far, very good box-to-box and defensive midfielder there, depending on where and how Morocco are going to utilize him. And then, I mean, different players that are getting kind of back into the fold. Hakim Ziyech could be a massive addition. He was obviously on the outside looking in, managerial change. He comes back in the national team. There's just quality all over this team. I think there's a lot of Moroccans that play in Ligue 1 too, which is sometimes a very underrated league. There's a few of them who play for Angers as well. I know they're not having the greatest start, but there's a ton of quality in top five leagues. And this Morocco team, probably on paper, is even better than Canada on paper, but I don't know if they just have the game changers too. Like That's where you got to imagine. You need to get like a Ziyech at his best, I think, for one of those game changers. And he's been a little hit or miss since he's joined Chelsea.
You completely forget about Achraf Hakimi.
No, I said Hakimi.
Oh.
Hakimi will be playing right back and Mazraoui will be playing left back, which I like.
I think it's the other way around, right?
I interviewed a Moroccan journalist who said, because I thought that as well, because Hakimi played left back for Dortmund and I prefer him there. But they said the last few games that they played that he's been playing Mazraoui on the left.
But I'm just looking at their last few formations, and
yeah, I think I looked at that too, like on like FootMob or Google or something. But yeah. I didn't watch the game, so I'm just going off of his word. He told me that they were playing that way. But regardless, the fact that they're putting both of them on the pitch, I think, is obviously very smart. I mean, you need to figure out a way to get him on, and I just know Hakimi's so versatile. I mean, you could play him as a winger if you needed to. But, those are two deadly fullbacks.
I think they have. In almost every position in the starting 11, they have a player from a top five league.
Yep. But I mean, Bono as well. Hasn't had the greatest start to his season with Sevilla, but he did come off a very impressive campaign and won a good award on it as well. So he's got a Canadian passport as well. So, you know, a little love towards Bono.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Right, they're good. Like, they're a good team.
They're really good. Going through that list,
En-Nesyri is probably going to lead the line, you'd assume. I'm not overly convinced. I'm not the biggest fan of En-Nesyri. But you know, if Ziyech is in the mood and putting it on, like right in areas where you can't miss it, yeah, he's got a decent goal scoring record for Morocco. But I know. That Sevilla team has been very, very poor this season, and En-Nesyri's not really had much of a time there. But
yeah. So yeah, I knew this deep down, but then at the same time, you wonder, you know, like you always think, okay, it's just Morocco. And then you look at the actual squad and you're like, oh my God, this is actually a really good team. And on paper, I would say they're probably better than Canada.
Yep.
Football isn't paid on paper.
It's not. And that's like, you know, and that's like depth wise, I think that like, because of just where a lot of these Moroccan players are playing, you got to give them advantage. There's a top five leagues compared to Major League Soccer. But it comes down to how they're going to perform on the day. And if you have a game changer, who can be the bigger one? I mean, our star player is Alphonso Davies. Their star player is Ziyech. You look at this season, and as long as they're both fit, who's in better form? Who do you think could be like that player to make that play? Ziyech, he's just not been that since joining Chelsea. Still an incredible player. Doesn't mean he can't rediscover that form, but in form, I mean, we got the better superstar that's going in just in terms of what he's been doing this season.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess it's predictions then.
Yeah, you go first. I'm curious to hear what you say.
Okay, so I do think that Croatia is going to top this group. I do think that Belgium is a candidate to fall out, but I think they're going to just make it. And then it's Morocco third, Canada fourth.
Oh, Emmanuel, going to the real. Yeah,
that's my realistic one. Yeah. But I do think that. For some odd reason, I think Canada could maybe upset Belgium, and that will change everything.
Yeah, you gotta hope. I've been giving the same answer, just because, again, I don't want to be biased, but I want to assume that Canada's going to pick up a win. So I've been making the Moroccans mad the entire time I've talked about them, which is very unfair, but I'm going to put Morocco in fourth and just hope Canada can get a result. I'm going to put Canada in third, so I'm not being too biased. And then I really do think that whether it's Canada or Morocco, there could be an upset that could see Belgium slip out. And then I do believe that Croatia is going to top. But I will put Belgium in there because I'm too scared to make that prediction. So don't want to, because I don't want to leave. If I'm doing it, I want to make Canada in second. And I can't. I don't know if they're quite up for it yet, but we'll see. I got Belgium second, Croatia first.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. World Cup is just 11 days away by the time of recording. Canada played their first game on November 23rd against Belgium. Josh, any final things that you want to add before we wrap up this group?
No, just excited to get the tournament going. I mean, absolutely. Don't love the don't love the conditions. I'm obviously excited because of the World Cup, but just hoping that the players can stay fit. No more injuries, hopefully, for anybody, and they can just come in and enjoy a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for some, and we can enjoy some really just, you know, an interesting tournament. I don't know how else to word it. It's weird where and when it is, but I'm going to do my best to enjoy it regardless.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, that wraps up this episode. There's more previews coming, already released, so please check them out. Filippo and Adrian also did fantastic work with theirs, so they're going to be all released one by one. Enjoy them all. Until next time, cheers and bye-bye.